We're recording.
All right, back to session. Moving on to 2018-11. Mr. Houseman, would you like to come forward? Property we're discussing is 169 Sunset Drive, correct?
Yes, that's one of the two.
We'll address that one first and then move to the next one.
First, if it's all right with you, I'd like to thank you for the appointment that I have today to be here, and thank you all for what you're doing, because I can tell you it's a thankless job to sit up there, and I have a pretty good feel for that. I served as Secretary of the Board's County Clerk for 20 years, and then I served as Presiding Commissioner sitting where you're sitting today on the Board of Equalization. So I know it's a thankless task, and I thank you all for assuming responsibility. If you don't mind, I'd like to make a comment or two about what's been going on in reassessment and then go directly to the properties if that's what you would like me to do. According to an article in the Springfield Newsreader dated Thursday, June 28, 2018, our assessor, Chuck Pennell, gave an explanation that the state tax commission ordered Taney County to conduct some unusual reviews and adjustments in an even-numbered year. I'm just reading this directly as it's in the paper. The order, which was dated September 6th, according to the newsreader, says the assessor's office did not complete all geographical areas in the county during its 2017 review process. Pennell is quoted in the article as stating, this includes parcels in downtown Branson and near Kirbyville. About 4,000 Taney County taxpayers have been notified of a property value increase, mostly in Branson. Based on this article, I'm assuming, and I would say that it's fair to state, that the general reassessment, which began in 2015 and continued in 2017, is now being completed in 2018?
Yes, for reassessing. Yep.
Now, as I remember back to the assessor's explanation in 2015 when questioned, was that his office could not complete the reassessment of the entire county in 1 year. And, in fact, was reassessing approximately half of the county in 2015 and would be reassessing the remainder of the county in 2017. Is that a fair statement, John?
I believe so.
The newspaper article also states that the commission, the state tax commission, pointed to a law, again, this is directly out of the article, that gives the state tax commission general supervisory powers over assessors and boards of equalization to enforce the property tax laws of the state. While I agree with the statement made by the tax commission that they have general supervisory powers over the assessors, I do not believe for a nanosecond that the General Assembly has granted authority to the tax commission to order Missouri counties to blatantly disregard and break the law. I believe the tax commission does have authority. However, I believe their authority falls within the parameters of Missouri law. Assessors, at least in my opinion, flatly, do not have the ability to raise valuations in even-numbered years. I will concede that the non-elected employees within the tax commission have bullied and frightened a couple of counties into doing so, but I don't believe that that makes it legal. Chapter 137.115, subsection 1, states in part, the assessor shall annually assess all property in the following manner. New assessed values shall be determined as of January 1st each odd-numbered year and shall be entered in the assessor's books. Those same assessed values shall apply in the following even-numbered year, except for new construction and property improvements, which shall be valued as though they have been completed as January 1st, the preceding odd-numbered year. And I believe that this specific loophole was written into the law to appease the schools and other political subdivisions in order that they could reap the benefits of new taxes annually. That was kind of a trade-off back when these laws were being written. The law also states in part, on or before January 1st of each even-numbered year, The assessor shall prepare and submit a 2-year assessment maintenance plan to the governing body and the state tax commission for their respective approval or modification. Every 2 years, we enter into that plan. The 2-year plan for the years January 1, 18 through 19 bears the signature of the assessor dated January 11th and 18. And I'm curious, Mr. Pennell, if the 2-year plan calls for reassessment and probable tax increases for Taney County property owners during this year.
You know, I took office September of 2013, and I would be happy to share to the VOE what I've done since that time through reassessment. Took the order from the State Tax Commission to continue. Be happy to present all that to you. Looks like that's what this meeting is about, but if you would like that, I'll be glad to go through that with you.
If I could, Brian, you're making a legal argument. I happen to be the only lawyer here on the board, obviously. And certainly I'm sure they're following what you're saying, but is the upshot of this that you don't feel that the assessment year or this assessment year you should be assessed, or do you not think you should be being assessed at all on these properties? In other words, what does this get down to? I understand you're making a legal argument, which may be difficult for us, the board, the citizen board, to do something about. It may be something you'd have to do at the tax commission level, but it doesn't mean we can't hear you I guess what I want to know, what's the end game here?
I think if you'll let me have just a couple more minutes, I will finish, and those questions are going to be hopefully answered for you.
Okay.
But my question was that there is a 2-year plan that's created every 2 years.
Right.
And that plan is written by the assessor.
Right.
Signed off on by the county commission and the state tax commission.
Okay.
I'm curious if reassessment, what's going on this year, was in that 2-year plan that was presented at the first of this year.
If you would like me to answer that question, I would ask you to give me just a minute to run and get the map. I'll show you what we've done.
I would like to ask, what's the bearing of that upon the evaluation of why you came before us of 2018-11 on your evaluation of 169 Sunset Drive?
Again, hopefully by continuing, that's going to be.
I don't think you can answer that question right now, is what he's saying.
Okay.
But if you can go ahead. Or, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead. Continue.
There are a number of things that I had within here, and I'll give you a copy of it if you desire. But you know, I've spent 25 years of training and state workshops and listening to the Attorney General and every officer that's involved, as well as with the State Tax Commission. Plain and simple, through the years, you cannot reassess property on an even numbered year.
Okay.
The reassessment process, now I'm gonna try to let you know how we got to this point today, and then I will wrap up with those two pieces of property. This process, in my opinion, was tainted in 2015. Now, the assessor undertook the mammoth task of reassessing this county. And he couldn't complete the task with 1 year and decided to reassess approximately half the parcels in the county, which created a bit of an uproar back then because many of the citizens felt that they weren't being treated fairly. Half of our citizens were supposed to be assessed 2 years later. So the first half, thousands of Taney counties, were bearing a little bit higher percentage and paying a few more dollars in taxes. And many said at the time, where's the uniformity? Where's the equity? And apparently at the end of the 2015 BOE session, the majority of the BOE members felt it was wrong. And they voted, that Board of Equalization, which I was not on, voted to have the increases based on reassessment roll back. That vote was taken by the BOE in 2015. The very reassessment that you're looking at the finishing stages of now was voted by the BOE that all those values be rolled back. It wasn't fair in their opinion. It's a matter of record. Two of those increases were properties with my name on them. Now, I was personally pleased at the time that the BOE members felt that the increases should be implemented at the same time in 2017. Treat everybody the same. Just hold them until 2 years later, everybody gets an increase at the same time. That seemed fair. However, I'm thinking that our county clerk and our county assessor felt differently than the BOE members did that took the vote. The increased values were not rolled back as directed by the vote. The Missouri law provides the following in 138-160. The county clerk shall keep an accurate record of the proceedings and orders of the board, and the assessor shall correct all erroneous assessments. The board you're referring to is BOE. And the clerk shall adjust the tax book according to the orders of such board and the orders of the state tax commission. Now, as a failure of the clerk to adjust the tax book according to that BOE order, thousands of Taney Countyans have been paying more in taxes annually than the BOE intended for them to be paying. Now we're being told that thousands of Taney Countyans do not see a tax increase through reassessment in 2015, and who did not receive the same reassessment increase in 2017 as others had in 2015, will be receiving it in 2018, this year. And I ask you, how can this be fair? How can it be equitable for those who have been paying higher taxes since 2015? Now, personally, I don't believe it can be. The assessment increases, I believe, in 2015 should have been rolled back as were ordered. Now, to add insult to injury, and I'll show you how I got to my properties, at least for today. I received an increase valuation on those two parcels in front of you for this reassessment for 2018. It's the same two parcels, and I have that information for you. I'll give you each packet that I was reassessed on in 2015. I've already been reassessed on those two parcels. Now, even though the newspaper stated that Mr. Pendle said this was primarily for Branson and parts of Kirbyville, I live here in Forsyth. So I've been reassessed on top of what I had been reassessed for in 2015. I've talked to a number of other taxpayers, and they're in the same boat that I'm in. How can that be fair? Regardless of what the value of the property is, regardless of what value is established for the property, it has already been reassessed by the assessor's office. Now they're reassessing on top of the reassessment value that they established. I would ask this, that this board consider that all properties which reassessed in 2015 and 2017 as part of this general reassessment and are now being reassessed a second time in 2018 be rolled back to their previous values that were established either in 15 or in 17, because we've already been reassessed. That all properties being reassessed and receiving higher values in 2018 and even numbered year be rolled back to their prior valuations. I'm asking you to please review Missouri statutes to determine if the State Tax Commission can order you, the assessor, or the county to violate Missouri law. Please review the statutes and seek legal opinion to see if the assessor of the county or you as the BOE members have any liability for violating Missouri law. Please ascertain if there may, in fact, be future financial ramifications for schools and political subdivisions and other political subdivisions if this is not cleaned up and addressed. I have, in each one of these packets, a copy of each of the two properties that I have asked you to look at today. On top is a copy of the reassessment of 2018. Behind that is the copy of that property being reassessed in 2015. There are also copies attached to what you have that set forth what Missouri law says about reassessment in an even-numbered year. And that's what you all are looking at least in part, during this process for BOE in 2018.
I appreciate you sharing. We too have also went through training on what we're supposed to do through the Board of Equalization. And I think what you're asking for is beyond our scope. What we have before us today is a full docket, but is based on the valuations that we're given. And then we're here to address the values of these properties, not whether the assessor actually is assessing in the correct year or not.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I think I follow all that you're saying, and I follow the unfairness argument from the standpoint of 2015 to 2017, prior board saying we shouldn't have 2015 paying higher taxes until all the ones from 2017 are done. I'm following all of that. And as far as the mandate about reassessing this year from the tax commission, which you think is contrary to statute, okay, you may be right, but I have to agree. I don't know that we as a citizen board can make that assessment, and I don't think that we can roll back an entire set of properties, except we can only do what we have in front of us. But if I understand what you're saying with respect to these two properties,
yes, sir,
is one is you shouldn't be being assessed in an even number here. Is that right?
Well, that's part of it.
Well, that's one part.
I did not complain when I was reassessed in 2015. I did not come forth. But the very fact that now we're cleaning up and we're picking up the individuals who have not been reassessed.
Still.
No, that wasn't me. I was already reassessed.
No, I get that. But I also think in 2018, if I may be wrong, they're not just assessing the ones that weren't picked up. I mean, they are also assessing, continuing to assess properties, just as we were talking about today with the hotel. It's probably going to be assessed again next year because they're doing renovations to it and things like that. So I don't think that they are just, I mean, I certainly hope that this isn't somebody's picking you out, of course, but I think that they are continuing to assess properties. You're not the only person that was probably assessed in 2015 that is also getting reassessed, and there's an increase because of the upturn in the market and the fair market values, just generally speaking. I don't know I don't think that it's trying to pick on the people from 2015. I do hear you, and it makes sense what the board apparently did back at that time. Of course, I wasn't on the board. I'm going to guess that you have probably already spoke with the maybe Marine or Tax Commission at some point about any of this, or have you previously talked about this issue within the Tax Commission?
No.
You have never talked about it?
Nope.
Okay. I mean, you're making a pretty good legal argument right here, and I'm not saying that it may not be valid, some of it, but we just can't. As a citizen board, you understand what we're about.
And I do. I do. However, I do believe at the very least, and I may be wrong, maybe I'm being reassessed anew.
Right.
In an even numbered year.
Right.
Maybe it's not, as the assessor stated in the newspaper to the Springfield News Leader, really a cleanup of those people, an ending to the reassessment and whatever factor it was they put on the properties across this county.
I think he is doing that, but I think we're also the assessor's office is also continuing to assess properties going forward, not just the ones in 2015, or not just the cleanup part of it, but I don't know.
Could I ask the assessor a question?
Sure.
Was it the office's intention, or was it a mistake, that individuals who had already been reassessed in 15 or 17 would be reassessed again? Or was the thinking to pick up those individuals who had yet to be assessed and add them to that reassessment?
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
How often is the assessor responsible to reassess?
Every 2 years.
Every 2 years, right?
Odd numbered year.
When I took office, the State Tax Commission came to me and said, Chuck, we know there's no way that you can reassess, catch up, because it hadn't been happening. We haven't been doing reassessment. We've just been driving around, not looking at properties, not getting out of the truck. We know that you cannot do it in 2 years. You'll be doing good if you can do it in 4 years. And that's what we started doing. And I'd be happy to go get the map and show how we started in 1-1 and we've come around the county. Just in the order of townships. And we have done reassessment. But as you said, we're responsible every 2 years to reassess. But for the staff we have, it's an impossible situation. So we look at our new construction, we try to keep up with that. We're essentially, our field appraisers are always reassessed because the county is so big, we don't try. I mean, we can't get it all done in 2 years.
The 4,000 additional reassessments that were, was your figure in the Springfield newsletter article, were those ones that had not been reassessed in 15 or 17, or does that include others? And that's a fair question, Chuck.
Fair question. I don't have a problem with any of your questions, Ron. They're good questions, and I'm happy to answer them.
Okay.
I think it would have been more appropriate for you to come to the office where we had plenty of time and I could show you clearly what we've been doing. But I'm happy to spend the rest of the day talking about it.
It's a pretty simple question.
I'd like to bring this to the meeting to a point of order. I think we're frankly off topic. I just have one question for you. Do you believe that these values based in 17 or these off-year value, what you're saying is off-year values, do you believe that they are higher than they should be?
Probably not. Probably not.
Okay.
My question is very simple. If you gentlemen look at the individuals that have been reassessed upon reassessment, and you find that was inappropriate, I hope that you will address mine with the ones that are within Tata County.
You serve this county.
Let me give me my opinion on this, Ron. And I appreciate what you're saying. You're trying to get me into a legal battle that I cannot get into. I cannot. I know what the statute says, and I also know what the state commission has said, that they have the authority to do that. So that's going to be into a legal battle, and I'm not going to get involved in that. And you say that your property was assessed in 2015.
Reassessed as part of the reassessment.
Yes, and it was not in 2017, but by your own statement, it's supposed to be done every 2 years. So it was missed in 2017.
No. There is, as Chuck has already stated, he can't make, obviously, half of them in a 2 year period of time.
Didn't you tell me that the law said it would be done every 2 years?
I believe that to be, am I right, Chuck? Is that what
yours
says?
That's what I understand.
And
yes.
You missed 2017, and I understand what you're trying to say, and I probably would make the same thing if I'd had an increase, which I did not. But by the same token, you're getting me into a legal battle that I'm not qualified to get into.
Gotcha.
And you've served this county for a long time, Mr. Houseman, and we appreciate your service. I appreciate your interest in our county. And, you know, we're here because we have an interest in this county and are trying to do the best that we can do to look at these valuations. And, you know, some are, you know, sometimes they are off, and that's what we're here for on an individual basis. As far as a whole, really, that's not our role to be addressed. And we need to move on to the point of order, which is 169 Sunset Drive.
and whatever you gentlemen decide is going to work for me. To answer a question that you asked me previously about the two-year plan and how that would be relevant to what we were discussing, the assessor writes a two-year plan every year. My question was that two-year plan that the assessor is to follow, as is the county commission and the state tax commission, did it include reassessment in this year? I didn't get an answer to that. I have a copy of the plan. I don't see it.
This really isn't the setting for that. This is the bottom line.
Okay.
On your house, do you have something to add to that, David?
No, I assume, Ron, that the argument or your statements are the same for both properties.
Yes, sir.
I just want to make sure so we can dispose of both of these at the same time. And you've stated you're not thinking that the assessed value is too high on those two properties. And obviously,
my question,
you can start this anew with the tax commission if you want to, and you may be successful, but I think this board is probably all we can do is determine whether or not these two properties are assessed improperly.
I guess my main statement, Mr. Akers, was, are they equitable with the other assessments in the county? Are they equal with the other assessments in the county? Are they uniform with the other assessments in the county? And if I'm not mistaken, that's the mandate of this board and of the assessor. And I don't believe that they are.
I don't, that may be right, but we don't have anything in front of us that shows us that a comparable property is being assessed incorrectly today. And so I don't know that we can, I understand the argument. For purposes of 218-11 and 218-12, I would make a motion that we deny any devaluation and that our choices are deny or modify.
Second. All right, we have a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 And this is recorded, so.
And let me state. Let me state, I appreciate your work, I appreciate your time, I understand your decision. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
All of you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
David, was that for both 2018-11 and 12?
Yes.
Okay. Just 1 second.
All right, we are hitting our time frame. Blue Line Rental.
Is that a call-in or is that
a... That is a teleconference. Now, Sarah Carnes, this is newsworthy, what we're getting ready to do. I'm jesting, sorry. Do we have a name on this?
Just a second. We're getting
wrong one. Sorry. Come on.
I don't show a name anywhere.
Do
you
guys
have a name anywhere?
Is there an agent listed?
Nope.
They say the opinion of market value, but they have no purchase price. What is the assessed value?
This is all on personal property. It's not on
real property. Yes, there's a personal property one?
Mm-hmm.
This blue line is personal property?
Yes.
Okay, what's the assessed value?
If you can go down to all of that, Wes, way down to the bottom of what they got, they have outlined what they're... They have it yellowed out there. It's what they
Christine.
Are... Pardon me?
Christine.
Christine, yeah. Just keep going down.
What's...
That's the other way
that,
down.
Well, I saw something that you sent to me, Wes.
That's the amount they're claiming right there. What's the assessed value?
I didn't bring that with me. Is it there? I'm sorry.
I didn't realize this was personal.
Yeah, it's...
They had sent a bunch of information, and they had... There was a letter from one of their people to another, to some other of their people, where they had what they were complaining about.
It might be good to...
Okay, you've got Christine with Blue Line Rental, and is she still on the phone?
Now that if you keep going, Wes...
Okay. Is it 832-299-7745?
They sent a letter from an inner office from one person in the office to another one.
Yes, please.
And the one that answered back had it high loaded, lighted as the pieces that they thought
this is were not Blue Line Rental over at Hollister. It used to be Volvo. They rent backhoes, big lifts, and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. There's been issue for the last couple of years anyway with them and our office. My guess is that they believe that they should not be taxed as equipment for their equipment that they rent out.
There you go.
They refer it to, there you go. They believe that those should be exempt per statute, and it's an issue across the state, probably across the county, that these big equipment rental companies are arguing that their equipment is not equipment to be taxed for personal property, but is inventory, because it is, they will sell it someday, you know, when it's that point in its condition. So this is another legal issue of, Are those equipment companies to be paying tax on their equipment that they're renting? And in reading the IAAO international deal, I mean, it's an issue all over. And we've talked to them, and they did not send this list to us. We've taken it from previous years. We've done it, I think, 2 years now that way, because they wouldn't present anything. They're saying they're exempt.
What does their statute say?
Well,
the statute is, as I understand the dilemma here, it's a question of whether this stuff is determined to be inventory versus equipment.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
So
that's
so,
the issue.
And they want an answer from this board.
And I would suggest that
they don't want an answer from a damn
you
lawyer.
Send it to the state tax commission and let them decide it. We feel like it's equipment. That's the way it's always been. It's equipment, and I understand the business side of it. They're trying to lower their taxes.
Chuck, do you know of any decision or opinion out of the tax commission on this issue at all?
Yeah. There may be. I'm not saying there is. But
the statute, I'm assuming, says that inventory is not taxable, but equipment is.
There's,
is that basically?
I think so.
I can see the statute you're talking about. Then.
There's some standards out there, and we've looked at those standards. A lady that worked in our office a number of years was very diligent to work through those standards. And, you know, it names a few specifics like bulldozers and this and this and this. But you get into a long deal, and what is it? Is it equipment or is it inventory?
So is this a better decision for the state tax commission?
I think so.
Probably will be. We need to listen to them.
Yep. And that's my assumption of what they're thinking.
So they're just saying they should be exempt.
The items above the highlighted is the equipment that they. If I see this right, they're not saying that should be exempt. But they're saying the equipment that they rent out should be exempt.
Hello, Christine.
Yeah.
Hello, you are on with the Taney County Board of Equalization.
Okay.
We are here looking at your appeal. And just wanted to give you a little bit to explain what you're looking for.
Okay. Well, it's regarding business personal property. Blue Lawn Rental is a short-term rental company.
Yep, we're familiar. Five. Yep.
Okay, so you, and then our contracts are 28 days or less. Sent you an example of that. And then, because it's part of the Missouri statute, and I sent you a copy of that as well, our rental fleet is exempt. It shouldn't be, it should be exempt from ad valorem taxes. And if you look at the, each year we've been received an assessment. Last year I made a note to contact the county because I wasn't receiving the assessments, and the same with this year. I had to call to get the assessment by email, and so I haven't had a chance to protest till this year. After conversations with Glenda Guile, making her aware that the equipment shouldn't be assessed as well, to no avail, each year it continues to be on our assessment. So we're requesting that the $321,403 of equipment that's listed on the assessment this year could be removed due to the Missouri statute that equipment is not assessable. And we'd like to have that removed.
That's ad valorem taxes, is that?
We're reading the statute right now, Christine.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question?
Yeah, the assessor has a question.
We're looking at the statute. Thanks for sending that to us. Chuck Pennell, I'm the assessor here. Can you explain to us, in the statute there, it mentions by rental companies under 532412 or 532210, what those numbers refer to?
North American industry classification system, and Blue Line does fall under that. It's for a heavy construction rental equipment.
I know when Glenda was working on this in previous year that we pulled up that information, and there were some specifics of what type of equipment fell under that, but then it was, I guess you'd say, vague and otherwise in other pieces of equipment. Did you by chance provide us with anything that, to that reference?
When you say provide you for something to state that, that all of our equipment falls under that category, or?
Yeah.
In other words, is there anything that shows us what those particular that classification system, do you have the documentation on those classification systems? Because we're trying to follow the statute, we need to know whether what you do falls under the, those particular classifications in the North American industry classification system.
I mean, you want me to show you that we are under that 532, or you want both to, for us to show proof that we are classified that, and how the North American industry, what would they consider to be under the, is that what you're requesting?
What I'm looking at is when we looked at this again a year or two ago, when this came to our attention, when we looked at that association and their guidelines, criteria, whatever, it did not, in other words, it might mention a bulldozer, but it didn't mention a backhoe. And so there was question to us what it applies to. What types of equipment does this apply to? Because as the statute says, it's under those guidelines.
Right.
Do we have this?
I can try to find something more that gives you from the North American standard what, but I mean, Blue Line is, we do fall under that classification. And the equipment that we sell is heavy construction equipment, and I think that's what the classification is.
As I remember, we looked at that, and we could see where possibly some equipment would apply and other equipment wouldn't apply. It wasn't a specific thing that we could hang our hat on.
Mr. Sessor, do we have those? Do we have this classification system documentation for officers? Is something you looked up on?
If memory's right, we went online and looked up the association she's talking about and got that.
In other words, I'd like to see the definitions.
Right. I don't have that.
Of merchandise under that particular. I mean, I was inclined when I saw this, Mr. Chairman, to just send this to the Tax Commission if this is a hot issue, but, I mean, this statute, Missouri statute, seems fairly clear. I mean, if we have those particular sections and their equipment falls under it, it would seem pretty clear that they...
And then, would you read further on in number 2, it says, for the purpose of Article X, Section 6 of the Constitution of Missouri, all merchandise held or owned by merchant, whether or not currently subject to a short-term rental, which will subsequently, I mean, so... It goes on to that as well.
Well, obviously, there's a reason for that specification in the first part.
Correct.
Someone asked me the question, maybe before we had you on the phone, if there was cases at the State Tax Commission or anything. Has someone been through this before? Are you aware? An assessor?
I personally haven't researched prior cases, but I mean, obviously, I mean, rental companies, you know, I mean, for them to make it as clear as possible on the statute.
And you're just asking for those particular rental pieces of equipment to be exempt or taken off.
Correct. The $321,420 that are on the current 2018 assessment that we would have an email for, because I've not been receiving a copy, in which typically, and I had to, again, I had to make myself a note to be able to contact the office, because until the bill comes in, I never receive, and typically we should be receiving an assessment to compare it. But anyway, yes, just to have the equipment, the 2014, 13, 12, 09, and 08, the machinery and equipment that they have on the assessment for this year that we received. That's what we are protesting.
Well, we are trying to look up those sections now.
Okay.
To determine. Do you want to wait a second, or do you want to table this until we look at those, or what do you want to do? Because, I mean, I think we can actually make a decision.
Do what?
I said, I think we could actually make a decision on this one. As
make a motion.
Make a motion. I would motion to table this until we can look at those until this afternoon.
I'll second it.
All right. We have a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
To table? Aye. Motion carries. Christine, what we're going to do is we're going to look into these, and we are going to table it till later this afternoon. We do have a full docket, but we will fit it in and look at this.
Would you like us to call you back at the time we do that, or do you?
Yeah, because I have to reserve this conference room and everything, and I'm not sure what time it'll be.
Well, we could
be available.
Mr. Chairman, it's okay. We'll make our decision based on what these code sections say. You've told us, I mean, you've given us the list of equipment already, right?
Yes.
And so we'll make our decision and send it out to you if that's okay. I mean, it may very well be that we will find that they're exempt, but if we don't think we can make a decision, then we may let you go to the tax appeal process. Is that fair enough?
Or
the State Tax Commission, excuse me. Fair enough?
Okay, that's fair enough. So what do you want me to, when will I hear back from you? Do you want to just contact me by email and just say what your determination was?
Or? You are entitled to a letter of our decision after we make the decision. It's going to be submitted.
Okay.
And then it'll tell you what you need to do if you want to go to the Tax Commission. If we don't find an exempt.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. if you need anything further from me, let me know. And can I give you my direct contact?
Yep. What is that?
I'll be back at my direct contact. It's 832-299-7745.
Okay. I do have that number. All right. Thank you so much, Christine.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. So you feel that there could possibly be enough information.
We looked at. I don't think we're going to find it, but we'll happy to look. The other thought.
Well,
I mean,
when we have a statute that is clearly directed at that particular personal rental property, and I think we, as a board, ought to look at it. And
well, but would we know what the statute says?
If we don't,
we have their
right. If the statute, if it's not, if those sections aren't clear, I say we send it.
Yeah. But if it is clear, do we know for sure? We just have their interpretation of the statute. So will we know the statute?
Well, that's up to the board. I mean, if you guys don't want to make a decision, you can't. That's fine.
Then again, that's part of our responsibility to make some decisions like this. And if we can, if this is clear and you deem it, and we deem it as such, then we can make a decision on it.
We've got a bad seven back there.
Yeah, Mr. Tillack, come on forward. And moving on to 2018-14, property in discussion is, I assume, 1482 Lakeshore Drive.
Yes, sir.
Which is the new Barnabas Prep.
It is. And I believe you all received a copy of, did you all receive an email yesterday?
Well, we're bringing it up here.
Okay, great. Sent a review kind of our revenue and expenses related to prep.
I'm going to check my email.
Okay.
I'm still getting that.
Basic review of what we do. We're part of the Barnabas Foundation. We have a building on Lakeshore Drive. We call it Barnabas Prep. It's a two-year school. It's a break-even school where we'll have 18 to 20 special needs students who attend school. And some of them are varying levels. Some of them are learning how to fold their pants. Some of them are learning how to tie their shoe or tell time. Or some of them work in the community. Some of them are volunteering at Sight and Sound and other places. But we have about 18 to 20 students. Their parents pay tuition, similar to a college setting. That's where $400,000 a year is generated. So in the summer, we usually have 5 to 6 students that really, you know, they're older. They're in their 20s, 30s. And for them to go home doesn't work. Their parents were older, so they stay at the prep house. And I think a few years ago they decided, we've got this beautiful home. Why don't we take 4 or 5 rooms and use it as a bed and breakfast? Just kind of, you know, for a training ground for these students. So they opened a little bed and breakfast. Most of the rooms are comped. A lot of them are the parents or family members of the students that come. Because the students will cook breakfast every morning, they clean the rooms, they give tours of the place, and it's awesome. You'll see some of the students walk around, the shoes are on the opposite feet, the wrong feet, and they're just loving feeling like they have, you know, something to do, a job. And so I think last year the revenue it earned was about $5,000. And that really was to cover expenses for food to feed the guests. They make them an egg casserole or a fruit dish or something. And it wasn't intended to be a business or similar to Keter Center at C of O or what Kanaka Camps does. It's basically a training ground for these special needs kids. And it's awesome. And the people that come fall in love with these kids. And the money is insignificant as far as, it wasn't created to generate revenue. It was created to let these young men and women practice their learned skills and build confidence.
So you're asking for is the property currently not exempt?
Correct.
Right. Why, you're 501c3 nonprofit, correct?
Yes.
And so you're saying, I mean, there's really no profit activities that go on.
It's a break-even school. Any money generated from the B&B in the summer is irrelevant.
Apparently I wasn't paying attention, but you said you started out with something else and then you moved them over to this house?
Is that correct? They're all in the same
house. I'm sorry, but it's always started.
9 months out of the year is the school. It's similar to a college school schedule. And then summer happens, and we had 5 or 6 students that would stay and live at the house. And some of them work in the community and volunteer.
Yeah, I understand.
And that's when the B&B. Okay. They said, why don't we let them practice
well,
what
is that call. House part of your 501c3?
Yes, sir. Yes.
It's the old Gary Smalley house.
Right.
Is what it is.
Right.
It is within our scope as the BOE to determine exemption, and I did review our guidelines last night. I mean, obviously, Barnabas is a very reputable nonprofit organization, and you know, appreciate the work that you guys do. I'm just glad you're here. Not, you know, we don't have your Stone County property, you know, that we're having to look at today.
I'll make you deal on that place. Any of you?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you've been. Chuck, is there a reason why it hasn't been exempt?
Yep. One reason, first thing that comes to my mind when somebody mentions exempting a property, I remember the State Tax Commission training session I sat in that when an issue came like this, they suggested just send them to BOE, let BOE send them to the State Tax Commission. So that's one thing that's in the back of my mind. The other issue, and I'm sure you're John?
Yes, sir.
Good to meet you.
Good to meet you.
I visited with John and also with Jason, and I'm 100% behind what they're doing. The other issue that we have, because it is a bed and breakfast, which looks like a regular business, and they do pay tuition, it makes me think of Kanakuk. Granted, much bigger concept, but when Kanakuk for many years was taxed and then they appealed to be exempt, and they it turned out they were, but they went through that process, went to the DOE, ended up at the State Tax Commission, and they were termed exempt, and all their properties are exempt now. And I have, anyhow, because of that process and what I've been told in the past, and here's a bed and breakfast, and we have bed and breakfast people out there that's their business, then I told them that they need to come here and possibly y'all can make a decision. If not, then they have to be sent on to the State Tax Commission. This is the only, right here what you're looking at now is the financial stuff we've got. And I'm not arguing that they're making money, but without some strong financial stuff that shows what the bed and breakfast made, that, because assessors have to answer to lots of different folks, and I want to be able to answer why that we...
Okay, no, that helps me.
Maybe that's too long, sorry.
David, what's your...
Well, I was going to ask some questions. One is, the net revenue you said mostly goes to meals. Why don't you have the meals taken out as expense? In other words, why isn't it zeroed out there? Where does that $8,170 go?
Sure. It is all part of the Barnabas Foundation overall. So, because the revenue was so minimal, I think it flows back into the overall expenses of the program itself.
In other words, it may be used as expenses.
Yes.
At the summer camps.
Summer camps, scholarshipping, some of our residents, cost of goods.
But what you're telling me is that all revenues from that property go back into the Barnabas Foundation.
Yes. Yeah.
And is there anything on that property that is used, I don't care if it's an outhouse, that is used by the general, is it used for some other purpose besides Barnabas Foundation? Is there anything there that's used? Okay. And how do kids qualify to come?
their parents are screened. Daily we have parents come with their students, and we screen them.
And this could be anybody in society?
Anyone in society. We try to limit it to 19 and older. Usually up to age 19, public schools, the system obviously takes care of them, but when they hit 19, they hit this cliff where parents need right. another solution. And Barnabas has been a great solution as a nonprofit.
Well, I too am very familiar with, or somewhat familiar with Barnabas and what you guys do, and I commend you for all of that. From just strictly the sports decision-making process, I mean, it's my opinion that the test that has been set out here, as long as all of that money goes back into the charitable organization, that it passes that test. And I know that Chuck had mentioned that the tax commission likes to see these, but they just like to make sure that somebody is an exempt, I understand, but in other words, trying to get an exemption that shouldn't get one.
David, if I might, I don't know that the state tax committee wants to see them, but they were saying to the assessors, if you got any question, they suggested passing it along.
Okay.
I'm just reading through the exemption of what we have for the BOE, and you know, I can read this. Requirement for charitable or religious exemptions include property is owned and operated on a non-for-profit basis. Property must be actually and regularly used exclusively for charitable and religious purpose. Benefit an indefinite number of people. Ownership is owned directly by a corporation that is registered as a non-profit. You may require the owner to provide a copy of this. Is it owned by Barnabas?
Yes.
Use, brings hearts under the influence of education or religion, relieves the body from disease, suffering, or constraint. Another point, assists people to establish themselves for life or otherwise. Erects or maintains public buildings or works otherwise, lessens the burdens of government, and then it talks about political subdivisions. I think based upon, and then I can read the whole statute, which actually that was the bullet point version. I think if there is any exemption, that I think that this one warrants it.
Yeah, I would. The only thing that bothers me a little bit from the standpoint of the kind of randomness somewhat of who stays there. I mean, I think if parents are somebody and they pay anything at all, do they pay anything to stay there at all? Does anybody pay anything?
Yes.
Okay. That is the money that's generated
right.
on the bottom line.
Yes.
Okay. So whoever stays there, I think that that's where you can get yourself into a bind. Just my thought mm-hmm. is if you have people other than, say, parents or the
right.
other. I mean, I suppose if you advertise it as a not-for-profit that
right.
that is perhaps a bed and breakfast and all the money goes back into this foundation, right. it sounds like you'd be all right. I'll make a motion that we approve the exemption.
Motion is on the table. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
All right, we have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Nice to see you.
All right.
Motion to make an exam. I take your point. As long as that money goes back in, whatever is being there, I don't think they run into a problem.
Have more knowledge of the law?
I will say, having a background in nonprofit, any nonprofit organization worth their weight in gold that's going to really do good work is going to try to find different income sources to help sustain itself outside of just direct donations.
The big kicker is that there's not somebody who owns the whole thing who's putting money in their pocket. I mean, as long as it's going back into the foundation, and obviously there are salaries paid in the foundation, but then.
All right, 11:34. Moving on to 2018-15. We're on schedule. We have a teleconference. Do we have a name? Is it Mr. and Mrs. Wilson?
Yes.
We're looking at...
Linda Wilson and Travis Gibson.
I believe I visited with Linda on the phone.
There's no... They didn't give a value as to what they thought the property was worth.
113 West Main.
Yes, this is just... It went up and...
If memory serves me right, she had to issue... I don't believe she had an argument with the value, but getting it all at once, I believe, was her issue. But now you better talk to her and be sure.
It's close to where we were, isn't it?
I actually filled out the form for her because it wasn't going to be handy.
It's about two buildings down from where we was the other day.
Oh, okay.
What?
Next farmhouse.
What was assist previously, past years?
Was it Schitt's Barbershop, was it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. It jumped pretty big.
Big jump.
Why?
The ones that were next to that, Chuck, were they reassessed this year also? There's three other parcels right there.
All of those were reassessed. What we did, we went in and used a scale for the size of the building, and the majority of the increase was land value.
Yeah, I looked at those, and they were all just pretty much the same thing.
So we tried to, those smaller buildings, whatever the land value was.
Is this
so many?
This is a call-in, I'll call in.
Hello.
Hello, Mrs. Wilson.
Yes.
This is the Taney County Board of Equalization, and I was giving you a phone call about your appeal on 113 West Main Street.
Okay.
Could you share with us what you are appealing?
Okay. Yes, I appreciate you all working with me on a telephone conversation,
first of all,
because my brother was sick. But anyway, well, yes, and I understand tax assessed to raise. You know, I'm not complaining about that, honestly. But I was very surprised that it was increasing all in 1 year instead of over a period of time. And through the years, I have never seen properties that I've had listed or properties that have sold or that I've had that has had that kind of a jump in one year. So what I would like to see would be, you know, where it could be spaced out over a period of time. And you'd ask in the letter anything that I had, like repairs or anything like that coming up on my building. If I do have to have a new roof put on it, I cannot give you an exact amount because I don't have an exact bid on it, but I do have to have a new roof put on it, and I've got some other, you know, improvements to do to it, but, you know, I don't have any gigantic thing other than the roof, but I would like to have had notice on this a little bit more than in 1 year, because if when I work a lease on a piece of property, I work in my expenses, and I can't change the lease now, you know, because I'm tied in for that period of time.
Sure.
So, so this causes a little bit of a hardship on me, to be right honest with you. And I guess the other thing would be, I know the state is making Mr. Pinnell do things, and I understand that too, but he has discretion that he can use on how it's applied. And I guess that's the main thing that I'm complaining about.
No, and we sympathize with your taxes going up, and that's, you know, why we are here. You know, looking, you're not alone in the valuation going up. You know, just the ones around you, looking around, you have very similar valuations and very, very similar increases to the ones that have went around you. As far as the BOE is concerned, you know, we are here to look at to determine market value. We really have no scope or jurisdiction to change the amount of the increase of that value. So, you know, the 88,043 is really in step with the others that are, you know, right there around it. And I understand there has been a significant jump, but there's really nothing we can do about the percentage of jump if it's within the realm of market value.
And this is David Akers, another member of the board. In the circumstance you're talking about with I don't know if it would qualify or not, but in the circumstance you're talking about where you're already tied into a lease, you may be able to do something through the Missouri Property Tax Credit Claim Program, and we have some phone numbers, and there's actually a website as well. That I don't know if you qualify or not, but you might, given the jump and the fact you're tied into a contract. I just don't know off the top of my head. But I can give you the number if you'd like.
Sure.
It's the DOR. It's 573-751-3505. And there's also a website. It's dor.mo.gov/personal/PTC. That stands for property tax credit. But it looks like to me, as the chairman has said, that if you're not complaining about the valuation, it's just the huge percentage, which we have a lot of people in that same boat. We don't really have any power as a board to do something.
Okay. Well, I had to voice my concern on it, and I appreciate you guys taking my call on it. And I don't know what you all could do. If there's anything that comes up, you know, that you all can do, I wish you would take into consideration.
Well, I appreciate that, Mrs. Wilson, and you have a great day.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay,
bye.
Have a great day for you guys. Okay, bye-bye.
Move to deny.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
2018-15 is denied. Looks like we're at a lunch break. Is there something? We are a little bit ahead of schedule. Do we want to address some of these that...
You've got the one downtown that belongs to the Williams. If you want to rehash that for a few minutes.
Do we have any new information on that? Can you?
That's what I was trying to remember. Was there something y'all wanted me to look at that?
You were going to look at the comparables that he sent.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Whether or not
there
was a comparison there, and then get back to us on that. So he's going to
do that.
And
then the blue line, we'll look at that.
And then the other
statute.
The other one we had, we were just trying to find it to see if that equipment was listed under those.
Statutes. Do you want us to
start out
some statutes?
If you want, I'll stay around for a second. I think they were bringing those up. And as long as if you could get just the instruction, that's the code, right?
This is one of them, and this is the other one. General rental centers.
Okay.
But does that code have anything to do with state statute?
Yes, it's actually specifically listed in that statute as that if they're under this,
right,
then they are exempt.
Okay.
That's the only reason that I suggest we go ahead and look, because it sounds like they were trying to specifically address these companies in that statute. Because, I mean, they listed some other classification, which is rare that they do, actually.
Stephanie, would you mind to put the statute up also?
Yes, I think
it'll take me just a minute. Well, it's just got those two code numbers, right?
Right. So. I just wanted to get the number of it so I save looking for it.
I don't think it'll take us long to make that decision. They've probably got a list.
Well, I'm going to defer to you on this as your expertise.
137.
But if we can make a decision on it, I feel like it's our responsibility and not just pawn it off if we can make the decision.
Okay, we'll work on those.
If we could just get whatever the definitions of
those
of merchandise under those two sections probably should be right there.
Yeah.
And we could print it and look at it.
Is what they're telling us true about, it says Article 10, Section 6 of the Constitution of Missouri. Do we know what they're telling us is correct? I mean, they're giving that as backing. Is that what that Article 10 of the Constitution or of Section 6?
Shall consider inventory.
All I'm getting at is, do we know that's what that of the Constitution? I'm not saying they're lying, but it would just be nice to know that that is what it says.
Yeah. Subject to short term. In other words, if they ultimately settle it. If they ultimately are going to sell it, it's considered inventory and exempt from ad valorem taxes. That almost sounds like that if they eventually sell it, they don't even have to ask for the first part.
But I thought it was rental, so it's not for sale.
Well, it's saying
a rental or
short-term rental in which will ultimately be sold. That's what that second line says. In other words, if they're doing short-term rentals on it, but they're ultimately going to sell off the property once it gets too old to be rented, and then it's going to be considered exempt. So again, looks like the legislature is trying to.
They're trying to help.
Pretty much exempt these guys. Yeah. That's what it looks like to me.
Well, to run a business and to put that much investment in that amount of property and then to pay property. I mean, my car is not worth that much, but I got to pay.
Right.
And those are expensive pieces of equipment, and that's why people rent them and still buy them, is because they're.
Yep.
So evidently, if we have a Missouri statute that states that they're exempt on these particular pieces of.
Right.
Then.
I think that those sections are trying to define what. And Chuck's only question was, you said that you thought some of it was in there and some of it wasn't?
Yeah, I believe those numbers, when we pull those up, we'll say just a couple of three different things that are under that number.
But are they just examples of what they're talking about, or are they like, this is it?
That's the question. Is it examples, or is this the only ones that apply?
Guys, I guess if we get those sections while we're property exempt from taxes. Is this on?
There's Article 10, Section 6.
Right here.
Right there.
You probably can't read it.
Well, it's that statute is adding to this, saying that it's considered this. I think it is. I think it is. That's a thought process. But,
okay.
But given the fact that they have. That second, what I'm not understanding is that given the fact that they have cited to that other section of the whatever.
Of the.
Whatever that is.
You're right, it does say.
It's referring us specifically to a used equipment company, basically. Or equipment or other merchandise. It's referring specifically to short term rental companies. Under those sections. Okay, they're saying they're considered. I think all that's said, if they are considered one of those rental companies under that particular classification system, then they're a short-term rental of equipment company. And then the second part says anything that they use, even if it's eventually sold. Yeah, my thought process is they're exempt.
I would entertain a motion in that regard.
I would move to exempt.
On which one?
On
2018-13
concerning Blue Line Rental. We have a motion to exempt them based on.
I'll go with our attorney's opinion.
So we have a second.
I'm just a board member today.
Is that right?
I give it a.
All right. We have all in favor.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Chuck, I would say on this, since you say it's a nationwide issue on this, our legislature looks to specifically address it. But if you see something else come down the pike, reassess them and we'll do it again.
Yep.
My thought.
I'm going to give her a phone call just to let her know that she had a decision in that regard.
Well, we're going to send her a letter telling her anyway. And she said that was okay.
Yeah.
So it's up to you.
Oh, I would want to know. Hey, Christine, this is Jeff Reynolds with the Taney County Board of Equalization.
Yes.
Hey, just wanted to call and let you know that we did come up with a decision.
Okay.
And we do have good news. We did, based on doing the research and looking at it, we did choose to go ahead with your request to exempt those particular pieces.
I appreciate that. So will Taney County be sending us a...
Yes, they will.
Okay.
And that, of course, only applies to that equipment that you are using for your in the rental business, not for equipment that you use in your business outside of renting it out. Everything you have, I'm assuming you rent it.
Correct,
Okay. I'm just saying if you use some other piece of equipment that... for your own use, then it's not...
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Well, that's tax. We understand that, totally.
All right.
Right. Okay. I appreciate it, Jeff. And you said that Taney will get us something? Or
you will be getting a letter from the county in the next
5 days.
Okay. And you were Jeff Reynolds?
Yes.
Okay. And you're the board, on the board?
I am. I'm the chairman of the board, yes.
Okay. All right, thank you so much.
All right, have a great day, Christine.
You too.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, guys.
Recess?
We will recess until 1.
Can you turn the recording off?
Yeah, I got two.